Certainly appreciate the presence of each and every one. We do have visitors among us. We are delighted that you've chosen to come our way, and we hope that you'll be encouraged and that you'll return during each and every opportunity that you may have. I'd like to also encourage everyone to keep an open Bible this morning as we prepare to engage in our study this morning titled Five Essentials for Spiritual Growth. Appreciate the good reading that Bruce just gave for us there in 2 Peter chapter 3. And going back there to the reading that Bruce just gave for us there in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, we learn where Peter instructs Christians to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, it's important to note that the word grow there denotes the need to develop or progress toward maturity. So to be simply put, when Peter exhorts Christians to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, he is encouraging them to develop in both the favor and knowledge of the Lord. And he tells them why that's important. When he tells them the fact that it is in him in whom all glory both now and forever belongs. So with the instruction of Peter in mind, let's take some time this morning to examine some things that are essential. That is, some things that are necessary for spiritual growth. That is, the progress towards spiritual maturity and the development of Christ-like characteristics. And let's begin this morning by suggesting that spiritual food is essential for spiritual growth. You see, if we are going to grow spiritually, we must be a people who feed upon spiritual food. For as physical food is essential for the physical body, in order for the physical body to sustain itself, likewise, spiritual food is necessary for the soul of man in order for one to support spiritual life. We see that if we are going to grow spiritually, we must not live by bread alone. Jesus emphasized this, didn't he? There in Matthew, the 4th chapter. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to Matthew chapter 4. As good Bible students, we're familiar with the context here in Matthew chapter 4. And in the context here, Jesus is led up to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And we're going to pick up here in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1 where it reads, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But watch how Jesus replied to the tempter there in verse number 4. But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" You see that? You see, here Jesus is emphasizing the fact that there's more to a man than just the physical. Every man has a soul, and this soul, it must be fed how? By the word of God. You see, here we can see where Jesus is emphasizing the necessity for a man not to just live by bread alone, but rather by how? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see that? And if we are going to grow spiritually, we must not just live by physical bread alone, but rather we must be a people who feed upon the word of God. We must be a people who desire the pure milk of the Word so that we may grow thereby, as Peter expresses there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. When you think about that, when you think about Peter's instruction there, he brings out how newborn babes desire, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you grow thereby. You think about a newborn baby. You think about how a newborn baby, it longs for its mother's milk. And here Peter is simply instructing Christians to likewise have that same desire for the Word of God. To also long for the pure milk of the Word. Why, Peter? That you may grow thereby. Think about that. You see, if we are going to develop and progress towards spiritual maturity, we are going to have to be a people who have a longing for the Word of God. We're going to have to feed upon it. But here's the thing. Not only should we have a longing for the basic principles of the Word of God, for the pure milk of the Word, but we also need to be a people who eventually grow to the point that we chew and digest the meat of the Word. We learn about this there in Hebrews chapter 5. Notice this with me, if you will, there in Hebrews, the 5th chapter. And it's important, as we're about to read here in Hebrews chapter 5, that if we're going to grow spiritually, we need to understand that it's essential for us to feed upon the spiritual food, the Word, lest we become malnourished. Notice this here in the context here of Hebrews chapter 5. The Hebrews writer is going to rebuke these Christians. He's going to rebuke them for their spiritual immaturity, for their failure to grow. And notice this here in verse number 12 of Hebrews 5. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." Here he's saying, hey, you're at the point to where you should no longer need this milk. You should no longer need the basic principles, but you should now be chewing upon and digesting the meat of the Word, the solid food. He goes on to say there in verse 13, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age." That is, those who are mature. That is, those who by reason of their use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see, I want us to think about this rebuke for a moment. Here we have an instance where there were some Christians who obviously they've been in the faith for a while. They've all obviously come to a point to where they should have been skilled in the Word. They should have progressed in their development. They should have grown. But yet, they failed to grow. And here the Hebrews writer is sending them a rebuke for that. He's sending them a rebuke for their failure to grow. And when you think about that, when you think about, again, the illustration of a newborn baby. When you're holding that newborn baby in your arms and you're feeding it that bottle of milk, do you expect that child to continue to be on that milk forever? You don't, do you? You expect for that child to be feed upon that milk for a period of time until it continues to develop and progress and grow to a point to where eventually it's going to be able to partake and eat solid food. And you know, God expects the same out of His children. God doesn't expect His children to be a babe forever. God expects His children to grow. He expects them to mature, to get to that point, to where they can, as the Hebrews writer talked about here, who can partake of solid food. To emphasize this, I want to use this illustration for you. Picture this in your mind. Think about a 50 or 60-year-old man sitting there nursing on a bottle of warm milk. What would you think about that? What would you think about if you saw a 50 or 60-year-old man nursing on a bottle of warm milk? I venture to say that you would think, that is unacceptable. That shouldn't be. Well, think about this. What about those who have been members of the Lord's church for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they're still at this point to where they are in need of milk and not solid food when it comes to the Word of God? You see, If the first was unacceptable, then so is the latter, right? And we need to understand the importance, the need, the essential for spiritual food and feeding upon spiritual food. You see, failure to properly feed upon spiritual food eventually is going to lead to what? Spiritual malnourishment, right? We all recognize that if we don't partake of physical food, if we go weeks without spiritual food, eventually our physical body is going to deteriorate. We're going to become malnourished. The same is in regard to spiritual food. If we fail or neglect to consistently feed upon the Word of God, I'm here to tell you, we're going to become spiritually malnourished. That's why it's important that if we are going to grow spiritually, it is essential that we consistently feed upon spiritual food so that we may grow thereby. But I also suggest to us this morning, another essential for spiritual growth is regular spiritual exercise. Did you know that? Did you know that regular spiritual exercise is essential for spiritual growth? You see, if we are going to grow spiritually, we need to exercise ourselves spiritually. We need to exercise ourselves toward godliness, as Paul instructed Timothy to do there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And notice this instruction of the apostle to Timothy, beginning there in verse number 7. There Paul tells Timothy, but reject profane and old wise fables. And now watch it. Exercise yourself toward godliness. Why, Paul? Well, notice verse number 8. He says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You see that? You see, simply put, Paul is emphasizing the fact that the exercise that counts the most is that of a spiritual kind. He acknowledges that bodily exercise, yeah, it profits a little. But that exercise that profits the most is spiritual exercise, isn't it? And here he's talking about the need for us to be a people who exercise ourselves toward godliness, toward a godly mode of conduct. And he tells us why that's important. He tells us why godliness is of most profit there in verse number 8. When he says, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Pay attention to that. Because here Paul is telling us why spiritual exercise is more profitable than bodily exercise. You see, bodily exercise, yeah, as Paul says, it's profitable for a little. It profits a little. But spiritual exercise, it's profitable for all things, not only in the life that we now live, but also in the life to come. You see that? That's why he says, godliness is profitable for all things. Know that. Exercise yourself toward godliness. Now some may be thinking, well, Brad, how can I effectively do that? What can I do to engage in spiritual exercise? Well, one form of spiritual exercise would consist of searching the scriptures daily. That is a way that we can exercise ourselves spiritually. By being a people who diligently search the scriptures. We learn there in Acts chapter 17 verse 11 about those noble Bereans of old. How they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, right? And that they received the word with all readiness. And what else did they do? Search the scriptures daily. Why? To see that the things were so. You see, these Bereans, they wasn't going to just take the Apostle Paul and Silas for his word for it, was they? They wasn't just going to take their word for it, but rather they searched the scriptures to make sure that the things that was being taught to them were so. They exercised themselves by searching the scriptures daily. You see, if we are going to grow spiritually, we must be a people who study the Scriptures. Studying the Scriptures is essential for spiritual growth. We see the necessity of study found there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And there in the King James Version, Paul, he writing to Timothy, told Timothy to study. Why? To show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see that? If we are going to be a people who are going to present ourselves approved to God, if we are going to be a people who are going to be able to effectively, rightly divide the word of truth, we're going to have to be a people who do what? Study. We're going to have to be a people who study the Scriptures. Diligent study is important, isn't it? If we are going to grow spiritually. That's why it's important that we take advantage of every opportunity that we have to engage in Bible studies. We had a great Bible study this morning in our adult Bible class. Take advantage of that. Make the time. Plan to be here for those. It's going to help you in your spiritual development. It's going to help you progress in your spiritual walk. It's important that we understand that. It's important that we take advantage of opportunities to engage in home Bible studies. Take the time to set some time aside at home to just open up your Bible and to study it with your family. That's important. Take some time to set some time to do some personal study. Take some time maybe on your lunch break throughout the week. Take your Bible to work with you. Take some time on your lunch break to open up your Bible and to read it and to study it. Because you know what that's going to do? It's going to help you develop. It's going to help you grow into grace and knowledge of the Lord. We need to understand the necessity of regular spiritual exercise if we are going to be a people who are going to grow spiritually. Knowing that, let's all engage in regular spiritual exercise. Let's engage in it by not only searching the Scriptures daily, by not only diligently studying the Scriptures, but let's also engage in it by meditating day and night upon God's Word. You see, brethren, it's not enough just to open up your Bible for a few minutes a day and read through it and check your daily Bible reading calendar and say, well, I've done my Bible reading for today. But yet you didn't think anything about what you read. What good is that going to do? You see, not only is it important that we take time to open up our Bibles and to read it and to study from it, but we need to deeply think upon the things that we are studying. We need to take some time to deeply think upon the things that we are reading that day. And it's important that we regularly spiritually exercise ourselves by meditating day and night upon God's Word. To emphasize the benefits of doing this, I take us there to Psalm 1. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Psalm 1. And notice these words of the psalmist beginning there in verse 1. There the psalmist said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he," what? "Meditates day and night." Now watch verse 3, because here's the benefit. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." You see that? There's benefits to regular spiritual exercise, isn't there? And when we take advantage of the opportunities to study and to meditate upon God's Word, we will be a people who will grow spiritually. But I also suggest to us this morning another essential for spiritual growth is a good environment. You see, not only is spiritual food essential and regular spiritual exercise essential for spiritual growth, but a good environment is also essential for spiritual growth. And if we are going to grow spiritually, we must put ourselves in the proper environment, mustn't we? We must put ourselves in a proper environment. We must avoid evil company which corrupts good habits or good morals. Paul gave this warning, didn't he, there in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. There Paul said, do not be deceived. By the way, anytime you see those words in the Scripture, pay attention. Because it's a warning concerning danger. And Paul says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Think about that. You see, we may think, oh, I can hang around with that ungodly person. I can spend as much time with them as I want. I'm a Christian, and no matter what they do, no matter how long a time I spend with them, they'll never influence me for bad. We can think that, can't we? But there's power and influence, isn't there? You see, the more you hang around someone, typically, it's not going to be too long you're going to start acting like those people you hang around, right? And that's exactly why we need to understand that if we are going to be a people who grow spiritually, we're going to have to place ourselves in a proper environment to grow spiritually. We're going to have to avoid evil company which corrupts good habits. But rather, we need to be putting ourselves and spending our quality time with those of like precious faith. Those who have the same goals that we have. Those who are going to be able to help us develop and progress in our spiritual walk. Again, if we're going to grow and mature spiritually, we're going to have to avoid the path of the wicked. We can see the importance of this that found there in Proverbs chapter 4. Go with me, if you will, there to Proverbs chapter 4 in your Bibles. And notice these words of the wise man, beginning here in verse number 14. There it's recorded, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Here we see the instruction. The instruction to avoid the path of the wicked. And we see in verse 16 why that is necessary. When he says, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. Remember that. Especially you younger people. You younger people, you need to remember the importance of choosing your friends wisely. You need to remember the importance of making sure that you're spending quality time with those who are going to help you get to heaven rather than with those who are going to keep you out of heaven. That's important. And the wise man, he understood the importance of choosing, of the righteous choosing their friends carefully there in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26 when he said, the righteous should choose his friends carefully. Why? Well, notice, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. We all need to remember that, but especially you young people. Remember that. The righteous should choose their friends carefully, knowing that the way of the wicked will lead you astray. That's serious. And we need to understand that if we are going to be a people who are going to progress and developing our Christ-like characteristics, we're going to have to put ourselves in a proper environment. We're going to have to surround ourselves around those of like precious faith who will help us develop and progress spiritually. And may we all always remember that he who walks with wise men will be wise. Again, the wise man makes us aware of this fact there in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 20. When he says, he who walks with wise men will be wise. Now watch it. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. Again, there's a contrast there. It's an easy one to understand, though, isn't it? If we want to be wise, what do we have to do? Likewise, walk with those that are wise. But on the flip side of that coin, the companion of fools. Evil company. Guess what it's going to do? It's going to lead you to be destroyed. It's going to lead you to fall. And it's going to lead to failure to grow spiritually. We need to be aware of that. And we need to understand that a good environment is essential for spiritual growth. But another essential for spiritual growth is the right temperature. You see, temperature is an indicator of health, isn't it? We all recognize that if our temperature is too cool, we've got a problem. But on the flip side of that coin, if our temperature is too high, we also got a problem with our health, right? And it's the same with our spiritual well-being. Temperature is an indicator in regard to one's spiritual health. Did you know that? You see, the Bible speaks of some who didn't have the right temperature, right? It speaks of some who were lukewarm. We're going to talk about them in a moment. But if we are going to grow spiritually, we need to have the right temperature. We need to be a people who have a zeal that is on fire for the Lord. We must not be cold. We must not be lukewarm. But rather, if we are going to grow spiritually, we need to have a zeal that is on fire for the Lord. We can learn about this there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. And in the context there, Paul is simply writing to Christians in regard to how they need to behave and act like Christians. And notice one of those instructions that he gives them in verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Simply put, what Paul's instructing those Christians there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 is not to be lazy in their service to the Lord. Don't be cold in your service. Don't be lukewarm in your service. But rather, be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Simply put, what Paul is telling them there is you need to have a zeal that is on fire for the Lord. And when you think about that, when you think about the need to not be lazy in your service to the Lord, when you think about the need to be zealous in your service for the Lord, we need to think about the reason why that's important. Notice this with me there in Titus chapter 2. And there in Titus chapter 2, we learn why it's important that we are a people who are zealous for the Lord. There in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, when Paul tells us that he himself, that being Christ Jesus, Paul says, he himself gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself. Now watch it. His own special people, zealous for good works. You see that? That's why it's important that we have the right temperature. That's why it's important that we are a people who are zealous for the Lord. Because as Paul informed here in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, Christ gave himself for us that he may redeem us, his own special people, zealous for good works. Remember that. And strive to be one who has a zeal that is on fire for the Lord. Knowing that the wrong temperature, it makes the Lord sick, doesn't it? We learn about that, don't we? There in Revelation chapter 3. Go there with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Revelation chapter 3. And here in Revelation chapter 3, we learn that the wrong temperature, it makes the Lord sick. We learn about those who had the wrong temperature. Those who were lukewarm.
And notice what is said about that. Here in Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, it's recorded, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things say the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." By the way, who is that? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice what he says beginning in verse number 15. "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Take a moment to let that sink in. Let that sink in. You see, here Jesus is making it very clear that, hey, I know your works. I know you. I know that you're neither cold nor hot, but rather you're lukewarm. And you want to know how that makes me feel about you? It makes me sick. Stop and let that really sink in. I want you to reflect for a moment upon your personal service to the Lord. How you been doing? How you been doing? Are you cold? Are you hot? Are you neither cold or hot? Are you lukewarm like these Laodiceans? Are you just going through the motions? Doing what you think that you got to do to please the Lord. Doing what you think you got to do to just check that box for the day. Is that how your service for the Lord could be defined? As just going through the motions? Being on the fence, so to speak? Neither cold nor hot? You see, unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians who need to wake up. There are a lot of Christians who need to understand that they have the wrong temperature. There are a lot of Christians who need to take heed to these words of Jesus found here in Revelation chapter 3 and take them to heart. Knowing that lukewarm service makes the Lord sick. It's not acceptable. We must not be a people who just go through the motions, so to speak. But rather, we must be a people who have a zeal for the Lord. We must be a people who are on fire for the Lord. And we need to let that zeal motivate us in our service to the Lord. You see, if we're going to grow spiritually, the right temperature is going to be essential, isn't it? It's going to be essential. But I also suggest to us this morning that if we're going to grow spiritually, another essential for spiritual growth is frequent spiritual self-examinations. You see, I venture to say that most of you probably have frequent physical examinations with your primary care physician. I venture to say that most of you probably at least have a yearly, if not every 6 month, frequent physical exam. And why do you do that? You do it as a way of preventative maintenance, so to speak, right? You do it to keep yourself free from disease and to keep yourself free from chronic illness. You do it that in hopes that if you did come down with an illness, that it can be caught soon enough, that illness could be taken care of before it got out of hand. We understand the necessity of physical examinations, don't we? And if we understand the necessity of those, we likewise need to understand the necessity of spiritual self-examinations. You see, it's just as important that we likewise engage in frequent spiritual self-examinations if we're going to be a people who grow spiritually. The inspired Apostle Paul, he understood the spiritual self-examinations are essential for one's spiritual growth, didn't he? He understood that, didn't he? We learn about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. And there Paul, he said, examine yourselves. Why, Paul? As to whether you are in the faith. Think about that. Here Paul is instructing these Christians to take some time to do a personal spiritual self-examination. He says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Simply put, what Paul's saying is to see if you still can be regarded as faithful disciples. Sometimes we too need to be giving ourselves that examination, right? Sometimes we too need to take some time just to stop and to reflect on our spiritual well-being. Sometimes we need to stop and ask ourselves too, hey, how am I doing? How am I doing? Is my spiritual life in such a way that it's pleasing to God? Is there some things that I can make some improvement on? How am I doing? We need to ask ourselves that question from time to time in regard to our spiritual well-being, don't we? And that's exactly what Paul is instructing these Christians to do here in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse number 5. Because he understood the importance of such. And here's the thing. If we are going to grow spiritually, we must often consider and examine our ways. There in Haggai chapter 1, we learn about the word of the Lord which came to Haggai the prophet. And there in Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, we learn where this word of the Lord which came by Haggai the prophet, it was to these God's people of old, consider your ways. And not only did he say it in verse 5, but he also said it in verse 7. Emphasizing the importance, the need of one to consider their ways. You see, God's people of old, they were in need of doing some self-examining spiritually, weren't they? And that's exactly what Haggai was encouraging to do when he said, consider your ways. They need to take some time to examine their ways, to reflect on the way that they were living. They needed to consider that path in which they were going. And they needed to change. Sometimes you and I, brethren, are in desperate need of really stopping and reflecting upon our ways. Some of us need to take some time to really consider our ways. We need to consider the path that we are taking. We need to take some time to examine our ways. You see, when I think about that, I can't help but to think about also what Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, said there in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40. Again, in the context, he's speaking to God's people of old who were in need of making some changes. And he says there in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Again, there are some of us today who really need to take this to heart. There are some of us today who really need to stop and do some spiritual self-examining. We need to consider, search out, consider and examine our ways. And if we find that we're going down that wrong path, we need to turn around. And we need to turn back to the Lord. You see, it's important that we all engage in spiritual self-examination. It's important that we all think about our ways. And it's important that we do not delay to make needed changes if we see that we are in need of making changes. When I think about that, I can't help but to think about the words of the psalmist found there in Psalm 119. Follow me, if you will, there to the 119th Psalm. And here in Psalm 119, beginning here in verse number 59, notice these words of the psalmist with me. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. Brethren, may we too be like the psalmist. May we too think about our ways, consider our ways, search them out, reflect upon them. And if we find that there are some needed changes that we need to be making in our spiritual life, let us, as the psalmist, not make haste to delay to make those changes. For by doing so, we will be a people who will develop and progress towards spiritual maturity. My beloved brethren, know that God expects His children to grow spiritually. Know that. And always keep in mind that one who is not advancing, that is one who is not growing, is one who is in grave danger of slipping and falling away. That's serious, isn't it? Very serious. Therefore, may we all strive to apply these five essentials of spiritual growth to our lives. And may each and every one of us always seek to grow spiritually. Maybe there is one here this morning who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. You too can be a people who can submit yourself in obedience to the Lord and His will by being one who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God. By repenting of your sins, by confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And by being baptized for the remission of your sins. You have that opportunity to do so now if you have not yet done that. And we plead with you that if you have not yet submitted yourself in obedience to the Lord and His will, that you would do so this very hour. For by doing so, you can be born again. You can be born again. And you too can be one who has that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And may we all understand the need, once we submit ourselves in obedience to God's plan of salvation, the need to continue to remain faithful unto death. The need to continue to always keep on keeping on. The need to do, as we talked about this day, to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remembering, as Jesus has promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've had some time to consider your ways. Maybe you've realized, hey, I'm on the wrong path. I need to make a change in my life. I need to repent. I need to turn from sin and turn back to God. If you find yourself in that condition, we plead with you to pray to God and ask Him for His forgiveness. We plead with you to repent and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever that need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.